WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. If you went to see M. Butterfly when it was on Broadway, you didn't learn the gender of its star, B.D. Wong, by reading the playbill. Wong had purposely eliminated any pronouns and gender references from his biography. Wong played the role of Song Liling, a Beijing opera star who pretends to be a woman. A French diplomat falls in love with the opera star and carries on a 20-year affair, all the while thinking he's a woman. Not only is Song Liling keeping his gender a secret, he's also using the diplomat to get information for the Chinese government. The play was based on a true story. Wong was a little-known actor at the time, and his anonymity was key to the part and the play. Well, the anonymity has vanished, but B.D. Wong has kept his name. Since M. Butterfly, he's appeared in The Tempest, playing opposite Frank Langella, and in a number of movies, including Family Business, The Freshman, and most recently, Father of the Bride. B.D. Wong is currently performing in a one-man show in Philadelphia called Herringbone. He sings and dances and plays 11 different characters, from a small child to an old woman. Herringbone tells the story of an 8-year-old boy possessed by the spirit of a 37-year-old tap-dancing midget who's seeking revenge on his partner. As B.D. Wong tells it, playing all 11 parts is rather like having a group of imaginary friends.
I mean, we're always told that when you talk to yourself or that when you pretend that there's an imaginary person, you're a crazy person, and it's discouraged in civilized society. And so here I get to, you know, go up and really, on a stage in front of people, pretend that I'm 11 different people and they're all talking to each other and they're screaming at each other and arguing with each other. They're killing each other. They're doing all these different things. And it's, you know, accepted. And that's very fun. So it is a bit like having imaginary friends, and it is, it's a very interesting kind of thing. I mean, if you get lost in it, I don't really remember or I'm not really that aware that they're not really real people.
Well, having seen you in Butterfly and watching you in this play move from male to female characters, I was trying again to figure out how do you make that little signature movement that's going to give away that this character is now a female? Having played in M. Butterfly, I imagine that you've thought a lot about what it is to play a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt that we were all just different sexes and that there weren't that many differences, and that if you could make somebody understand a different kind of person in their perception of what a woman was, they could see that distinction. But I didn't have to do much more than enact a certain kind of person. So I didn't have to get all wrapped up in female psychology or what it meant to be a woman or what it felt like or what it meant to act like a woman. A woman was a person, and this was a certain kind of person. And I got very frustrated that you could easily resort to something that a man would perceive to be womanly, or vice versa, that a woman would seem to be manly. It gets very convoluted, but I got very frustrated that the people bought things like that so easily. I don't know why. And that people bought stereotypes and that they could perceive the woman to be a woman because she had a higher voice or something like that. That seemed very strange to me. But anyway, having a kind of ground level belief that there's not that much of a difference was kind of liberating. And I was able to think about what kind of a person the person was and imbue in the case of M. Butterfly, the two different aspects of the character with nuances that could be clear and almost polar.
My guest is actor B.D. Wong. What about the Miss Saigon controversy about Jonathan Pryce playing the role of an Asian? You came down and you were very critical of the decision, I guess, of the producers and directors to go with him. Why?
Well, it's not necessarily, you know, quote unquote, to go with him. A lot of the reaction to the the casting of the actor was not related to the casting of the actor per se, but to the fact that the directors and the producers said, well, we went all over the world and looked for an Asian actor. None was suitable. None was qualified. None was able or good enough. In which case, a huge community of actors said, that does not sound right. That sounds a little bit like the excuse used against affirmative action in many different businesses. And then it was found out that no search was made. No such search was made. Well, then it became an excuse to just hire an actor when another actor could have at least been considered. There is an issue of yellow face, and what yellow face means, you know, yellow face is the Asian equivalent of blackface, and what yellow face means in this decade, after decades of being treated by in the media a certain way, and blackface is certainly not accepted. Absolutely not accepted. Now, it could be accepted in an artistic context. If the artist or the director were saying something through blackface, about blackface or about something. However, this was just like a Charlie Chan movie to many of us. It was a Caucasian actor donning yellow face, taping his eyelids, and purporting to present the Asian experience. That was a whole other political issue. Now, that issue might not necessarily be able to be used to keep an actor from being employed. However, that was just an angry issue that became part of the fat that went on the fire, too. The fact that issue was discussed was very valuable. And I think that the issue of the equivalence of yellowface to blackface, I think the point was made very clearly.
Let me reintroduce you. And I'm speaking today with actor B.D. Wong. And he first made a huge name for himself on Broadway. He played the opera, the Peking opera star in M. Butterfly, and earned a number of awards for that, including the Drama Desk Award, the Outer Critics Circle Award, among others. And he's in Philadelphia in a play called Herringbone, in which he plays all the parts, and there are 11 of them. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is actor B.D. Wong. Let me find a little bit about how you got into acting, how you became an actor. Were you a young child that was in a lot of high school plays or junior high school plays? Is that when you started acting?
Yeah, I was. I was always rather creative. I mean, I was always rather kind of making things or interested in art class and arts and crafts time at school, and not interested in playing ball so much. And so I was taken to art class at the local museum, and I was given violin lessons, and my dad took me to the ballet and stuff like that. And I was not really interested in performing at all. I was just kind of a creative young person. And I began playing the violin, and then I realized I didn't really like playing the violin very much. I was playing for all my teachers and stuff, and I became involved in high school productions and school productions, and I became immediately hooked.
These would be high school plays?
Yes.
Yeah.
And some community theater plays and semi-professional plays, you know, as time went on. And my parents, who were quite alarmed, as parents can be, you know, they wanted us to, you know, find our individual interests, but they weren't so sure. They wanted me to be an actor, and neither was I so sure that I wanted to be an actor, partly because being an actor is such a risky thing in general, and partly because it seemed, for a young Asian boy, quite an undignified kind of, you know, career. Why would you want to do that? You know, look what there is for you. Nothing. If there is anything, it's rather embarrassing. So why would you want to do that? And I thought, well, you know, if I'm really good, maybe things will change or something like that. So they...
And these were thoughts you had as a teenager?
Yes, yes. Because I watched like the Brady Bunch and I watched Hawaii Five-0, and I thought, gosh, that's very, you know, there's a lot of girls dancing around in hula skirts and stuff like that. But Asian people, that was my other problem was that I didn't have any role models as an Asian American. I've been fortunate enough to be able to go to some colleges and visit colleges, and I have a speech that I do. And part of the one of the things that I talk about in the speech is how my lack of role models caused me to have a very low sense of self-esteem as an Asian American. I was not proud of my Asian Americanness or my ethnicity. I wanted to be a white person. I wished I could be a white person so that I could succeed in society. And part of that was not having those actors in dignified positions. So I sought to try to go another route and to try to find an Americanness that I could be happy with. And
but what did that look like? I mean, how did you create that for yourself? What even is the image?
Well, the image was like to be like, you know, Joe next door. I mean, I wanted to just be an American person and to show people that not all Asian people had an accent and all of that stuff, which is not the most, I didn't want to do it for the most healthy of reasons. I wanted to do it because I wished I was a white person at mm-hmm. that time. Now, there is a value in that Americanness. I mean, I think there is a value in showing us all that we all share the soil and that we all, you know, have equal aspirations and that we all have some of the same problems. However, I didn't need to abandon my ethnicity to do that. And I'm sorry if I ever did that. M. Butterfly was quite a turning point in me as in my self-esteem department as an Asian American person. I was immediately instilled with a huge amount of pride, and I felt like I was, to a certain extent, carrying a message of Asian people, which was wonderful to me.
After M. Butterfly, and you played that for about a year and a half, mm-hmm. how many scripts did you get that were written for transvestites?
I did get a lot of like Miami Vice, like killer transvestite, pulls off the wig in the end. Oh my God, it's a man, you know, that kind of stuff. There were a few of those. Not as many as I thought. I thought there was going to be like tons of them.
Before M. Butterfly, and I don't know whether you mark your acting career as before and after M. Butterfly.
Oh, you're right. BMB.
But here I am doing it. What specifically were some of the roles that you were offered in Hollywood?
Well, I mean, the things were very small. And I was always like a busboy in a Chinese restaurant. Or I was a member of a teenage gang on a television show called The Shell Game. And I was able to kind of avoid specific stereotyping, either because of my own kind of indignance about it or because maybe I didn't do those undignified things very well. I just couldn't get myself to do them. A friend of mine says, you know, I've done roles, you know, where I said, God, I hope that wasn't stereotypical, because sometimes you do something and you don't know. And a close friend of mine, a great actress, says, you know, I don't think you have it in you to do it in that way. And I hoped that she's right. Anyway, those were basically the things that you got. You always got a lot of Chinese cooks and things like that.
And did you find directors pushing you to, you know, to play up the stereotype?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the huge problem. The ignorance by the ignorance that people have, it, which causes them to say, well, you know, it'd be a lot funnier, you know, really punch up the accent there, you know, really, can you do a little more of the, you know, whatever. And it's like if you've ever seen the Robert Townsend's movie, The Hollywood Shuffle, he does a great he discusses that a lot in his movies. He discusses it in his two movies, the Hollywood Shuffle and the Five Heartbeats, about what it's like for an actor of color to go to an audition and have somebody say, well, yeah, you know, do that thing that you black folk do, you know, and stick your butt out and stuff like that. And that's not unlike some of the experiences that actors like myself have had when it comes to speaking with choppy accents or, you know, I'm sure that a lot of my portrayals were too dignified for certain things, not funny enough. And a lot of times I will say, well, you know, that's really, you know, you take them aside a lot.
These would be the directors.
Yes. You, if you care about it as much as I do, you end up having to take people aside a lot. And it gets in the way of just being able to act, which is unfortunate. All of a sudden, you're like some kind of activist or advocate or something. But if you care about it, you have to do it. And you say, excuse me, but this particular thing is not very dignified, or I think people might be upset by it. You always tell them that other people might be upset by it, then it might get somewhere. However, a lot of times the answer is, but it's so much funnier this way.
Mm.
Or it's so much more of what we want for this scene. It's so important. And I played a gang lord in this movie called Mystery Date. Now, this is AMB, after M. Butterfly. And I said, well, I'll take this part, but he is a kind of a wealthy Chinese restaurant owner. He's supposed to be the head of this huge kind of Chinese mafia. And they kept saying more sinister, more sinister. And I wanted him to be funnier, more with a sense of humor and without an accent. He was very suave. He was like a playboy and stuff like that. And they kept saying, but it's so much funnier and so much better when he's sinister. He's got to be a threat to these young Caucasian hip kids. And I wanted him to be an ensemble. As an actor, I wanted to be, not only did I want to avoid the stereotype, but I wanted to be a member of the comic ensemble. They were getting all these laughs, and I was just the heavy. Well, I tried very hard to kind of avoid that. And I was relatively successful. Man, I took the director aside a lot on this movie.
Mm.
About the costuming, about the dialect, about the costuming of the extras even. I mean, I got into like stuff that was not my territory, you know, and stuff like that. But I felt really that it was very important.
Well, B.D. Wong, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's actor B.D. Wong. He's currently performing in Philadelphia in the one-man show, Herringbone. This is Fresh Air.